1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're Doc Tourists.
Bean? What's a Doc Tourist, Bean?
A Doc Tourist is your new favorite TV show.
Okay, no one knows that you're saying the word tourist.
Dark Tourist.
Dark Tourist.
Tourist.
Dark Tourist.
Yes.
A Dark Tourist.
Dark Tourist. So, there's this TV show on Netflix.
There is.
Called Dark Tourist. But it's hosted by a guy from New Zealand named David Ferrier.
Named Bean Dick.
Bean Dick. It is an amazing show where he goes all around the world and finds the, like, weird, creepy, dark, dangerous types of things you can do as a tourist in that country.
Mostly abandoned buildings
and like radioactive test sites.
And a lot of
like occult kind of things. He goes and like does Jeffrey Dahmer tours in Milwaukee and like talks with his Jeffrey Dahmer's lawyer and stuff. Okay. So like if you're hankering for some weirdness in your life, check out Dark Tourist.
Yeah, he does one. No spoilers, I promise.
No spoilers.
But he does one where he goes to the stands, meaning Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan. It's just those
Tajikistan.
Two.
Tajikistan.
But he just goes to those two, but he's near Tajikistan and
Uzbekistan.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's Uzbekistan and
Kyrgyzstan.
Which ones does he actually go to?
He goes to Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan.
Yes, okay. That's all I was wondering. Yes. Yes, yeah. There's lots of stands.
I was naming all the stands.
Oh, sorry. given all the stands their due.
You know.
Yeah, no, so he goes to the collection of
every
stands.
Every stand is sacred.
Every stand is important in its own way. And he visits those two. And that was, for me, that was like the most Buck Wild episode.
Just because like that part of the world, very not desolate. Kind of desolate.
Yeah. There's just like so much land compared to the number of people that live there.
Right.
And the places where the people do live.
You're
are
like,
just,
why is it? Why here?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah.
And like spooky and like weird political stuff going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like basically North Korea, like North Korea light.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never hear about them because they just like keep to themselves. Like,
right.
They don't want anybody in.
And they're maybe not, like, as genocidal as North Korea.
Yeah, I think they're not, like, nearly as,
so
like,
we're like, okay,
aggressive.
You just do your weird thing.
Yeah.
We're keeping, like, a side eye on you.
Yeah. No, it's like whenever, you know, when you were little and you had, like, the one friend that was, like, the weird friend?
I had a couple.
Yeah. And then, like... You know how your parents would be like very nice to them, but they
yes.
knew.
Yeah.
They were like, I know this is the weird one.
And whenever you would like come home from school with a bag of like baked goods, your parents would be like, whose house did those come from? And
yeah.
You're like, Shelly. And your parents are like, maybe we don't eat things that come from Shelly's house.
Yes, exactly. Or it's like you come home and you have like face paint all over your back and they're like, who did that to you? I'm like, oh, Shelly and I were playing a game.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
maybe we tell mommy about all the games we play at Shelly's house.
Right, exactly.
That's what I feel like the stands are like. Turkmenistan especially is like,
don't eat the cookies,
go play, but we're gonna watch.
Right,
you know. Anyway, I didn't really have a friend named Shelly.
Neither did I. That was just an example
good.
Name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Shelleys aren't inherently weird. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no.
So this is Song Salad.
Where we write a short song about a random topic in a random style of music.
We're basically music tourists.
Music tourists. Tourists.
And we travel the world of music and topics by spinning the salad spinner.
Yeah.
Where we get suggestions for some noise or impression for us to do that comes from you, our loyal vegetarians.
Oh, no, I really like this metaphor that we're music tourists.
I like it too.
Yeah.
We're exploring the globe of music and Wikipedia.
Is that our catchphrase?
Exploring the globe
of music and Wikipedia?
No, that's not very catchy.
No, it's not at all.
I think the word catch has to, you know, define a catchphrase.
Anyway, let's spin the salad spinner, which this week comes from
Autumn.
Autumn Clark.
Of Doggy Music Video fame.
Yes. If you haven't seen it, we tweeted out the music video for Hunt and Fox and Chasing Tail by Autumn Clark.
She says, your most realistic pterodactyl impression.
I love the use of the word realistic.
I
here
do too.
It's such a good, just like
that was a pretty good pterodactyl impression, Shannon, but was it? It wasn't that realistic.
Yeah, it didn't really make me feel like a pterodactyl was
right
here.
Like, everyone knows what they really sound like.
Yeah, exactly. So I love how, and like I bet you that just like if you talk to doctors about Grey's Anatomy or you talk to like forensic scientists about like CSI,
right,
I bet you that paleontologists get their knickers all up in a twist,
right,
about dinosaur noises
and like Jurassic Park.
Yes.
And things like
so
that.
Like, I bet you that if you were like, do raptors really sound, go like, or whatever, paleontologists would be like, I quit. Like, this is totally bullshit and I hate it. And everybody thinks that now T-Rexes roar like this or whatever.
Yeah.
Because like, that was just a total fabrication. I mean, I'm sure they did research.
I could be completely making this up, but I feel like I once watched like a behind the scenes of Jurassic Park.
Of making the T-Rex roar?
I'm trying to remember if it was the T-Rex roar or if it was the Velociraptor sound, but I think it was like, it was something where paleontologists actually took the fossils, mm-hmm, from the dinosaur and found the part of the fossil that would have been like the noise production,
the
like
vocal
bones
cord,
basically. And like, yeah, the vocal cords and the resonance like chambers,
right,
of these dinosaurs, and they tried to like as accurately as they could recreate what they would have sounded like based on the like biological structure of these animals, which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I wonder though if you're thinking of Jurassic Park 2 where he has a like raptor vocal bone thing and he blows into it and makes the noise.
He does? Oh, yeah. I don't remember Jurassic Park 2.
Yeah.
I think I've seen that one maybe once,
yeah,
and I've seen all the
once
other Jurassic Park movies many times.
All of the other ones many times?
Well, the good ones. Basically, that means the first one and then the last two.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sure they did research. Like, I'm sure they consulted paleontologists. And yeah, they were like, how do you think this would sound? But I do know that, like...
I just picture the film crew goes to this paleontologist's office. So they're like, what do you think a T-Rex sounded like? And he's just like... Get out.
And then the film crew's like, thank you. They're writing
it
down.
It,
yeah,
it,
great. That we got it.
Wow, he's so smart.
He's so good.
He's so smart.
But the studio,
yeah,
did make it by like layering different animal roars like on top,
right,
of one another and playing. I think it's like one of them is a tiger roar that's backwards.
Yeah,
played on
some
top
cool
of like
stuff.
Alligators make those weird like noises.
when they gargle their Listerine.
You know what I mean, though. It's not,
yes,
like little like growl, the like
guttural
watery
sound, yeah,
growl. Scott just like every time I'm about to make a noise, Scott like looks at me.
My eyes get wide.
Yeah,
like this is gonna be good. Well, let's continue it with your pterodactyl impression, shall
all right,
we?
Here we go. Let's see how badly I can scare your cats. Okay,
and my wife.
Yeah, yeah. Who is unsuspectingly in the other room? All right, here we go.
So I'm gonna guess that was a pterodactyl being stabbed.
I don't know. The way their bone structure is, they look like they're in pain all the time.
Spin.
Spin.
Well, we're going back to the motherland.
Are we? Are you from this land?
My name is.
Well, sure.
Wait, is it
no
Scottish or Irish? I was thinking of Scotland.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's just like an Anglo-Saxon name.
Sure.
Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm sticking to it. We're going back to the motherland of Ireland.
Celtic music.
Celtic folk music, particularly.
Yes.
Because we did already have a Celtic pop episode,
right,
with our Wind on a Pole song.
Yeah, about windmills.
In the style of Enya. But this is back in the golden days before Enya.
The golden days before Enya. B-E.
B-E.
Celtic folk music.
Great. This will be really fun. We haven't done like, I feel like we haven't done a like culturally specific folk genre in a little while since one of our like South American genres maybe.
Yeah. And most of the kinds of folk genres we get are Latin American influenced or African influenced. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten a lot of European folk music.
Yeah.
So pretty cool. Celtic music is a broad grouping of music genres that evolved out of the folk music traditions of the Celtic people of Western Europe. It refers to both orally transmitted traditional music oral transmission and recorded music, and the styles vary considerably to include everything from trad or traditional music to a wide range of hybrid. So the following melodic practices may be used widely across the different variants of Celtic music. It is common for the melodic line to move up and down the primary chords in many Celtic songs. There are a number of possible reasons for this. Melodic variation can be easily introduced. Melodic variation is widely used in Celtic music, especially by the pipes and harp. And by pipes, they mean bagpipe. It is easier to anticipate the direction that the melody will take, so the harmony either composed or improvised can be introduced. Cliched cadences that are essential for impromptu harmony are also more easily formed. So that's basically saying that if you have a common chord and melodic structure to all of the songs, mm-hmm. it's easy to improvise them if you're just basically, you know, taking a text that you want to musicalize, or if you're with a group of people and you're just jamming.
That makes sense.
Also, the relatively wider tonal intervals in some songs make it possible for stress accents within the poetic line to be more in keeping with the local Celtic accent. So that's kind of cool, too.
Oh, I like that.
Melodic lines reflecting the accent of the language and the people.
So what are we really talking about when we're talking about Celtic? Like, what area of the world is this? We mean Ireland and Scotland.
So I was half right.
Yeah, sure. Because both lands have produced well-known distinctive styles, which actually have genuine commonality and clear mutual influences. So you could you could hear something and be like, oh, that sounds Scottish, or oh, that sounds Irish, but they have the same root in this Celtic folk music.
Yes. These styles are known because of the importance of Irish and Scottish people in the English-speaking world, especially in the United States, where they had a profound impact on American music, particularly bluegrass and country music. So the traditional Celtic folk songs were brought over to the southern and Appalachian United States by immigrants and morphed into what we now know as the bluegrass and country styles. And there are certain songs, I'm trying to think, Loch Lomond for one.
Oh, sure.
That is based on traditional Celtic melodies, but is also done as a bluegrass tune now.
Is it done as a bluegrass?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. It's interesting, like an upbeat one?
No.
Oh, okay. Like, I was like, that's like a mournful song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, and I think there's a lot more examples we can probably find of that, but there's a lot of crossover and evolution of these songs as they came into the United States.
Cool. Here's a slightly interesting little fact that I just found. So when you're talking about what qualifies as Celtic music, this is complicated by the Irish independence, which allowed Ireland to promote Celtic as a specifically Irish product. But there are modern geographical references, but this is applying a modern political and geographical reference to something that is like actually cultural.
Sure.
So I think probably if something is Celtic music in like a store or like online, it's probably more than likely Irish.
Yeah.
If you're seeing it labeled that way. Even if the actual roots and influences are broader.
Cool. I was just looking at a link. One of the genres or styles of Celtic music is called a reel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a folk dance.
Yes.
And you may know it as the music that accompanies a lot of Irish step dancing and jigs and things like that. So,
like Lord of the Dance.
Exactly. So that's sort of part of this style. It's like an offshoot of Celtic folk music, but also this music is very malleable. Like these tunes are in essence pretty simple, but there's a wide range of possibilities for how they can be arranged. So take Danny Boy, for instance. It's a classic song. Take it. I don't want it back. You can do Danny Boy very traditionally with just like a fiddle and a singer, or you can have a full orchestra play it in like multiple keys and everything, and you can have people dancing to it. You know, it's these songs can morph in a lot of different ways, especially because of their public domainness.
Yeah, no, that's very true. What are we talking about when we are talking about instruments?
Yeah, traditional Celtic instruments include the fiddle, the harp, bagpipes, flutes, and stringed instruments similar to guitars like lutes and lyres and things like that.
Well, is a lyre like a harp?
Yeah, similar.
So it's like a small harp.
Yeah.
And that's the like one of the symbols of Ireland, right? Like on
is
the,
that the lyre? Is that the on the flag? Or yeah, not the flag, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, not the flag,
the
but
seal.
The, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's also the symbol of the Guinness Brewery.
Huh. This is interesting. The harp is the official national emblem of the Republic of Ireland. It can be found on the Republic's coinage.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of, the coins.
However, there's a difference between the Irish government harp and the Guinness beer harp. As Guinness had trademarked the harp symbol in 1876,
whoa,
the Irish Free State government of 1922 had to turn the official government harp the other way around so as it could be differentiated from the trademarked Guinness harp. So the government,
whoa,
had to change the direction the harp was facing on their coins and everything because of the Guinness harp trademark.
Imagine living in a country where a beer company can put the government over a barrel and be like, turn your goddamn harp around.
I know.
I kind of love it.
I love it too. So should we get an example?
Yeah, let's do an example. This will be fun.
Or maybe like a couple.
Yeah, I think to be true to how this is usually labeled and marketed, let's go for like Irish Celtic music.
Sure, let's do it.
So yeah, let's find some artists.
Our example this week.
Oh, what was it called? Sorry.
Shannon looked terrified when I just looked at her.
I just completely blanked is what it was called. The Rocky Road to Dublin.
As performed by the High Kings.
This is a very famous song. It is a public domain.
Yep.
Irish folk song, Irish pub song.
Trad, as they call it.
Yeah. And the High Kings are, I don't know if you'd heard of them before.
No.
I'd heard of them as like, there are some like more recent poppy kind of bluegrass bands that have like shown up, like folk music bands in the US. And this is kind of like the Irish equivalent. Like they're popular and. But they do traditional music and they're like a recent group.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they, you know, this is a pretty like modern concert setting in this video we found, but they're using traditional instruments. They're using fiddle, they're using tin whistles, they're using what looks like a lute. And also the drums they're using are called bodhrans.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to ask, I was like, what's the flat drum?
Yeah. It's the flat drum you hold in one hand with like a bar that's down the back of it, like a circular drum. And then you play with your other hand, either using your hand itself or a little stick with two balls on either end. You like cooking, cooking, cooking with it.
Oh, cooking, cooking, cooking with
right,
it.
Right. Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, the guys playing were using like a weird motion I'd never seen anybody play a drum with before. They were kind of like wiping it, like with their knuckles.
Yeah, it's like as if you're like shaking water off your hand, like that kind of motion.
And it was kind of just like a constant like background.
Like an
noise.
Alligator gurgling.
Stop it. But yes.
So here's the Rocky Road to Dublin. And then we're also going to play a little bit of Danny Boy just because you have to.
It's nice.
You have to.
It's nice.
Yeah. So example of an up-tempo and a ballad, basically.
I like that.
Here we go. Now that we're kissing the Blarney Stone,
Oh no, Irish accent.
Irish accent.
Have we ever tried this before?
I don't think we ever have.
Oh no.
What's a you need to you need a trigger phrase.
Yeah, what's
so
your trigger phrase?
My trigger phrase for an Irish accent is who the fuck farted? I don't know where that came from, but
It gets all your vowels.
Who the fuck farted?
Yeah, that's important.
Yep, because the vowels are more important than the consonants.
Right, yes.
For any accent.
Yes.
Doctorist. I still can't do New Zealand.
Nope.
Irish, here we go. Should we get a topic?
We should get a topic. And this week.
Oh, boy.
Our topic is coming out of our salad bowl.
It is.
So the salad bowl, for those of you who don't know, if you are a $10 and up patron on our Patreon, you can submit to the salad bowl, which you every month that you are a patron, you can submit a topic and genre suggestion, and we put them all together. And then once a month, we will draw from the salad bowl instead of spinning on Wikipedia or the produce section.
And today is that day of the month.
Yep. You're right. It is. Sure.
This week's salad bowl topic comes from
Chip Kramer.
Yes.
One of our newest Patreon donors. Thank you, Chip.
His topic is the Alcone Company.
The Alcone Company.
Let's find out what it is.
Great.
So Chip actually works for the Alcone Company. Yeah. And sent us a description because I don't think they have a Wikipedia page.
Oh.
So here's the description he sent. Alcone Company, founded in 1952 by Alvin Cohen in New York City.
That makes sense.
Cohen. This small pharmacy on Broadway sold fake eyelashes to Broadway showgirls.
Oh my God.
Since then, Alcone Company was acquired by a Long Island family named the Millardies and has remained a small family business run to this day. Today, Alcone Company provides makeup to some of the biggest shows on Broadway, Phantom of the Opera and Lion King, to name a few. And even helped the Blue Man Group create their signature blue foundation.
Cool.
Alcone also provides makeup for a large portion of film and television being produced on the East Coast. And they also sell to the public through their website and their retail store on 49th between 8th and 9th. Though they make a few items.
In New York City.
Yes. Though they make a few items, third degree make-off makeup remover cloths, non-latex sponges, and eye canvas cream eyeshadow. They are predominantly resellers, so they sell the stage and film staples like Ben Nye, Kryolan, and William Tuttle, but also carry industry-wide staples like Beauty Blender, Kevin Aucoin, and more. I don't know how to pronounce any of those.
That's okay.
Alcone prides itself on being a small family-run business that employs and empowers working artists. This means the makeup artists in store and answering questions over the phone and online are real working artists that know how to use the products they sell.
Cool.
Moreover, Alcone knows makeup is hard, so we don't carry or sell products that don't have a proven track record. If you find it in our store, it is quality, because the last thing you need is more makeup and skincare that doesn't work, taking up space in your closet, medicine cabinet, or in that weird bag you keep at the back of your desk drawer for when you've got a theater gig. I used to perform in shows, and I had,
as you all know from my my Twitter
storm
this week,
I used to have a tackle box, like a fishing tackle box, full of makeup, mostly Ben Nye makeup, and I had it until I moved into this apartment.
Did you really?
I finally threw it away.
I didn't know you just got rid of your stage makeup. Oh, it must have all
been
like...
stage makeup from like 2002, probably.
Yeah,
like
desiccated bits of foundation.
And like fake blood and like liquid latex and
Yeah.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It's gone.
Oh. Yeah, so I guess you got a fishing tackle box because that was like the boy equivalent of getting a caboodle.
Yes.
Which like everybody else just got caboodles.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I could go fishing.
How often did you go fishing?
Every summer when I was growing up.
Really?
In New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. But not with that tackle box.
With the makeup. With the Ben Nye makeup.
I'm fishing and I look fabulous.
Wait, what was, I think my color of Ben Nye when we were performing in college was rice paper.
I wish I could remember what color. Wait, let's look up Ben Nye.
Yeah, foundation colors.
Foundation colors.
As we've already established, I'm a very pale person, and I think my foundation color was rice paper.
Need a list. I need a list.
Wasn't one called like warm biscuit?
Here we go. Warm biscuit. Well, the most basic ones are fairest, fair, light beige, beige, light tan, and tan.
Okay.
Then there's cameo, natural beige, warm sand. Warm is that what sand. You're thinking of?
Maybe that's what I was thinking of, instead of warm biscuit.
Olive beige, ivory, pale biscotte.
Pale biscotte?
That is. Pale biscotte. Biscotti. Right? Yeah. Well, spelled differently.
Yeah.
Biscotte. Brulee.
Brulee.
Soft caramel.
Mm.
Shibui. No. Olive sable, garden ebony, espresso, bamboo. Java, olay.
I really thought there was one called rice paper.
It's burnt almond. There's bamboo.
There's special white.
Bamboo medium, mocha, pale English.
Espresso.
And coming soon, warm olive.
Ooh.
In case you get snacky.
I love that little bowl of warm olives they bring you at Spanish bars.
Exactly.
This is fun.
Welcome company.
A fun stage makeup company.
Yeah. I love that they were like a small pharmacy selling fake eyelashes to Broadway showgirls when they first opened in 1952.
What a cool story that is.
Yeah. And then they like became an empire.
Yeah.
This is cool.
Awesome. Okay. So,
and we have a personal connection between it and Chip.
What?
Like the person who, the topic actually relates to the person who suggested it.
Oh, I thought you meant like, we have a personal connection to Chip.
No.
Okay.
We have a personal connection to the Alcone company through Chip.
Yes.
Is what
Yes, that is true. I was like, do you know him? Like,
not yet.
Yeah. Thanks, Chip. This is a cool topic. I'm on the website right now. I'm reading about the Alcone company. So I'll be doing some more research.
And I'm going to listen to some more examples of Celtic folk music and get a sense for what style of song we want to do here.
Yeah.
Here we go. You guys.
How have we not realized this before is what I want to know.
I don't know. It's one of those songs that everyone knows.
Everyone.
But you don't really stop to think about the lyrics of the verse.
Yeah, because I would be hard-pressed outside of the research we just did to even say any of the verses.
So the song we're talking about here is What Do You Do With a Drunken Sailor?
Yeah, which everyone knows the chorus because it's just
What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? Early in the morning. Early.
Yeah. And that, but like, does anyone know any verses to this song?
What do you do with a drunken sailor?
Well, the verses answer the question.
And those answers are shave his belly with a rusty razor.
Okay.
Put him in a longboat till he's sober.
Great.
Stick him in a barrel with a hose pipe on him.
Don't even know what that means.
Put him in bed with the captain's daughter.
Ooh, scandalous.
And I was saying to Shannon, this is like the original draw on a passed out friend with a Sharpie at a frat party song.
Yeah. Like, how did we not realize this before?
Draw on a mustache with the Sharpie. Draw on a mustache with the Sharpie. There are so many options.
Take his picture, put it on Facebook. Take his picture, put it on Facebook. Like, it's so great.
Call his mom with FaceTime. Call his mom with FaceTime.
Like,
there was one you said earlier that was funny. Oh, whip cream in his hand and tickle with a feather.
It's so good.
Oh, it's so good.
I just can't believe that I didn't know that this was like party prank song.
Party prank song for pirates.
For pirates.
Party pranks for pirates.
Like, although I would say that tetanus is not a great prank. Shaving his belly with a rusty razor.
Also, like, shaving your belly is just gross anyway.
Yeah, that is a very gross concept. But yeah. So that's, we found that and we thought
wrap his dorm room in bubble wrap. Wrap his dorm room in bubble wrap.
Good. Good one. Yep. The whole dorm room.
The whole dorm room.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so there's that.
So that's Drunken Sailor. I wanted to talk a little bit about themes.
Let's talk about themes.
In Irish music.
Great. And then I'll talk about musical element.
Cool. So wide range of themes in Irish music, depending on up-tempo or ballad.
Yep.
I will say that there's like a, especially with the ballads, there's like a real sense of longing. I think that that's like the right word for it. It's not like sadness really, because there's a kind of like hope in all the songs, and there's like a wistfulness, and there's a sweetness that comes along with longing for a person, place or thing that you love.
Yeah.
And missing it. Like the missing is like really important. And a lot of songs, even the up-tempo ones, have this kind of like darker, like slightly darker undertone coloring them.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of them are about like missing a particular place.
Like Loch Lomond, or
there's one called the Fields of Athenry.
Oh, Fields of Athenry. Yes.
Yeah. Fields of Athenry. There's a lot about like traveling and like roving or rambling, like right. being away from people.
And if you ever see the word Erin referenced in the title of one of these songs, that's like a nickname for Ireland.
Yes. Yeah. The more upbeat ones are also often drinking songs.
Yeah.
And so they're talking about like what happens when you drink and yep. or like the consequences of drinking. And they do have a sense of humor to them as well. Yes. I love like, especially the example song that we had, Road to Dublin. It's just like a lot of strapping lads
yep.
singing rousing songs.
Stomping.
I like, there's something very romantic about it.
Yeah. And something very organic and like,
yeah.
Community created and
yeah. And it feels like very authentic and like it comes from the heart.
Yeah.
There are a couple other ways you can experience Irish music rather than just like listening to it. And in person, those things are called sessions and ceilidhs.
Sessions and ceilidhs.
Yeah, basically. So a session is a pub sing-along, basically. Cool. And you'll still find these everywhere in Ireland.
Yep.
You go to a pub and there will be live musicians playing there, maybe just playing, maybe playing and also singing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the tradition of the sing-along is definitely something that is alive and well in Irish music.
Yeah.
And then a ceilidh is more going to listen with the intent of dancing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And there are these sessions and ceilidhs at pubs in New York too. I know I have some friends that are part of that scene, and then I have a friend in Chicago who is a traditional Irish singer, Celtic singer, and she goes to one bar in particular, and they have like, you know, a couple nights a week these
that's pretty
meetups
cool.
and sing-alongs.
That's really cool.
So it may be near you if you want to join in,
check it out.
Musically, why does all of this music have a similar feel to it is a good question to ask.
Sure.
Right? And that comes from the types of chords and scales that are used for this music. The most traditionally used scales are actually modes, and we've talked about modes before. Particularly Dorian and Mixolydian are the most commonly used. And I could do a little more research, I guess, but I'm not positive how it evolved so that those were the commonly used scales. But the instruments that are traditionally used in this music were tuned to those types of scales, and the chords that work with the notes in those scales became the traditional chords of the music.
Okay.
So that includes the Celtic tin whistle, how do you pronounce this?
Pipes? Yeah, we did want to talk about this because it's like the Irish equivalent of bagpipes.
Yes, and instead of blowing into the bag to inflate it, you use a little like bellows under your arm to inflate the bag. And it has a thinner, reedier tone to it, but also it's got a wider range than the bagpipes. It's got more chromatic notes available. It's got a 2-octave range rather than a single octave, or a little more than an octave for a bagpipe.
When you hear it, you will recognize it.
We played it in our Danny Boy example.
Yes, yeah. Yes. As particular to Irish music versus Scottish music.
Yes, and as Shannon said, it like almost sounds like it could be a string instrument, like a badly tuned fiddle or something.
Yeah, it just has like so much. It sounds like a fiddle if like it had a bunch of like gravel in it that was like rattling around.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of the up-tempo songs, and we are going to do an up-tempo song, use the fuller range of instruments available to the Celtic music scene. So we are going to be using guitar, tin whistle, both played live by me.
Oh my God.
Fiddle and some percussion, like the Baudrin, like sort of those almost hollow sounding pounding drums. And maybe we'll do a little stomping and clapping too along with our singing. Form wise, and Shannon can talk about this a little more maybe with her lyrics, there's typically a chorus that comes back frequently between verses, and it's a chance for everyone to join in singing along. A lot of times the verses are solo singers, mm-hmm. and then the choruses are the group. And I think part of that comes from the fact that a lot of the times these verses would be improvised on the spot.
That's
and then you could just
true.
Come back to the chorus.
Yeah.
And if you watched Whose Line Is It Anyway growing up like I did, you would know that there's the Irish drinking song.
Right.
Which everyone comes back to between yep. these improvised verses.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, not far from the truth.
And it also kind of this structure or form is really good for story songs as well.
Yes.
Because you can kind of advance the story as you go, but still involve people
yeah.
and still have them sing along. And mm-hmm. you can kind of like make the story as long as you want it to be.
Yeah. You want to do an Irish drinking song right now? You want to make someone up?
Oh, my God. No.
Let's do it.
This is the worst. My worst nightmare.
I'll start. You do the second verse.
All right.
Ready? Oh, I'm recording with Shannon. We're sitting in my room. I often need to clean this room, so I have a broom. The broom picks up the dirt. The
so
dirt
long.
Is really bad. And I go to get my broom, and I'm a little lad. Oh, I go, Shannon.
You know what I just realized? You know what gave me pause? Scott didn't make his pterodactyl gnaws. So now we have to go back and make him do the sound. And if he doesn't do it, I will chase him all around.
That was better than mine. Oh,
Yay!
That was it.
That was good.
Oh, boy.
This is a stupid podcast for stupid people.
Well, try to make life a little brighter.
Yeah, seriously.
Are we ready for your lyrics?
Yeah, I think so.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, like Scott said, we're going to do some verses with a short sing-alongable chorus.
Love it.
And then kind of coming at the end, we'll alternate between a chorus and then like alternate chorus lyrics that fit the same rhythm and meter as the
okay.
chorus.
Cool.
Just to give it like a little more variety. And like sometimes like if you're thinking about the song Drunken Sailor, they have that like way, hey, and up she rises.
Yeah.
That is the same melody as the chorus, but it just kind of like breaks up the monotony of going like back and forth between verse and chorus.
Cool.
Yeah. So here we go. About the Alcone Company. Born in a store on a crowded corner, lashes for the lasses who tread the boards, making up the faces of New York performers, beautifying bodies is its own reward.
Nice.
And then the chorus, let's raise a glass to old Alcone, beauty's a business to stage my home.
Nice.
Then second verse, back of a drugstore got its start. Who would have thought how far it'd go? Bought by a family who gave it heart. Without it, the blue man wouldn't have a show. Let's raise a glass to old Alcone, beauty's a business to stage my home. Give a lash to every lass treading the boards and clink the glass. Oh yes, raise a glass to old Alcone, beauty's a business to stage my home.
Nice.
Yeah.
So now everyone that works for the Alcone Company can go to Irish pubs and sing this.
Oh God,
this song.
Perish the thought of them ever finding this.
My favorite line, and maybe the title should be Lashes for Lasses.
Yeah, I liked that.
That's great.
My little nod to using, and actually Irish folk songs do use a lot of like local dialect
okay.
in them, which I don't really know. So,
yeah.
You know, I just use lasses, which was my only like yeah. nod.
That's evocative of yeah. Celtic phrasing.
Yeah, my one little touchstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, here is Lashes for Lasses.
A Celtic folk song.
About the Alcone Company. Thank you, Chip.
By Shannon and Scott.
Born in a store in a crowded corner, lashes for lasses who tread the boards, make up the faces of New York performers, beautify bodies its own reward.
Let's raise a glass to old Alcone, beauty's a business to stage my home.
Back of a drugstore got its start, who would have thought how far it'd go? Brought by a family who gave it heart, without it the blue men would not have a show.
Let's raise a glass to old Alcone, beauty's a business to stage my home. Give a lash to every lass, treading the boards and clink the glass. Raise a glass to old Alcone, beauty's a business to stage my home.
Yeah, thanks, yeah. Chip.
Chip, that was a great suggestion. Also,
now
super...
you have a company theme song.
We're so sorry. This has to be your company theme song, legally speaking.
Yeah, it's law. That's yeah. what we didn't tell you about the salad bowl.
Oh, boy, we get so many people that way.
Yep.
Yeah, that's how Selena's theme song got changed to the song, the metal rap rock song or whatever it was that we wrote about her. Guys, thank you.
Thank you
for listening.
Yeah.
To our fun little Irish folk song.
Who doesn't love an Irish jig?
No one. It's so rousing.
So rousing.
Look, there are two things that just get me all
riled up.
Yeah.
What are the two?
You know my one.
Irish folk songs?
Well, yes. And then you also know my other one, which is those big Japanese drums.
Oh, taiko drums.
Taiko drums.
Yeah. I mean, there's similarities there.
Yeah.
It's all very, like, I don't know. Feels of the earth. You know what I mean? It's primal human emotion.
It's
expressed
just like,
through rhythm.
It's like just from deep down in your parts, you know? Just like an expression of humanity. I don't know, just something about drums and yelling really gets me.
What do you do with a drunken sailor? Hit his dick with a taiko stick. Hit his dick with a taiko stick.
Bean.
Don't
hit the dick, Bean.
Well, that was fun. I think it was fun. I'm glad that we got another chance at Celtic that was away from the Enya of it all.
The Enya of it all. That's very good. Yes. Yeah.
But interesting that Irish music has evolved from traditional, you know, harp and pipes to sail away, sail away, sail away.
Well, you can see the influence.
Sure.
And there's also, I don't know, we didn't really talk too much about ballads. Like, we definitely focus more on the up-tempo stuff.
Well, fun to listen to.
Yes, more fun to listen to, for sure.
If you like listening to that song, the Celtic folk song about the Alcone Company, you might like some of our back catalog.
Please subscribe, rate, and review us. If you review us on iTunes, we'll give you a shout out on the show as a thank you. We will also thank you very much if you become a Patreon patron. That's patreon.com/songsalad, or you can go to songsaladpodcast.com and find all of our info, listen to the latest episodes, and also link to all of our social media, like our Twitter @SongSaladCast.
Or our Facebook group, The Produce Section.
Yeah.
And if you do become a Patreon donor, any amount of money is wonderfully appreciated. But as you heard this week, if you contribute $10 a month or more, you can contribute topic and genre suggestions to the Salad Bowl.
Yes, and we will pick a random one every month. You can... Oh, that's
be whatever you want to be.
No, stop it.
I'm just trying to motivate.
I was just going to say, if you also become a Patreon donor, no matter at what level, we will send you a sticker.
Yeah.
So for our two new Patreon patrons, you'll be getting stickers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Until next week.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
a drunken sailor. Yes, we're a drunken sailor. Yes,
we're a drunken sailor. Just one drunken sailor. We are a drunken sailor.
We're a real Daisy and Violet Hilton situation. Just conjoined drunken sailors.
We are Siamese twin drunken sailors.
Only one of them is a drunken sailor, but then together, because they share a liver, they become a drunken sailor.
What do you do with conjoined twins? What do you do with conjoined twins? Early in the morning.
Early in the morning.